Like most fire departments, Steamboat Springs Fire Rescue serves an ever-growing population, and that means there's more 911 calls to answer. But there's a shortage of staff here, and the city hopes voters will do something they haven't done in more than 40 years. KUNC's Matt Bloom has more as our Growing Pains series on Steamboat Springs continues.
All right, go. Pain management.
It's around 10 a.m. in the firehouse living room, and Joe Oakland is in the middle of leading a group training session.
Each individual will respond differently.
That's when the first call of the day comes in.
All those factors are.
In the blink of an eye, the eight men scramble out of their chairs and race down the stairs. Two jump in an ambulance, four, including myself, in the fire truck. The others stay behind as backup. In less than a minute, we're speeding towards a condo near the Steamboat Ski Resort. I'm sitting in the jump seat across from paramedic Tony DiRiccio.
So we're going up to a person that had fallen and unknown if they're injured or not.
We're going to leave the recorder here and I'm going to go and see what's up.
Once there, we find a woman in her bedroom. She's on her back, unable to move due to intense pain. The crew works like clockwork, lifting her onto a stretcher and into the ambulance. Then things get tense.
And there was another call that came in.
About an alarm, it sounds like.
A natural gas alarm at a home across town. The standard response would be to send a fully staffed fire truck and ambulance, but the team already has their hands full.
So this one turned out to be...
Deputy Fire Chief Chuck Sarasoli is the commanding officer. He radios the two men still at the firehouse to take the backup ambulance and check it out.
It doesn't sound like it's going to be a life threat, so I'm okay with the ambulance going to check it out.
Concurrent calls like this happen on average once a day. These moments are when the department is at its most stressed. And for those in need...
Now remember, if a third call had come in, now we don't have anybody available, and now we have to really start figuring out how we would call it.
But right now, there's no room in the city's budget to hire more firefighters and paramedics. And the reason why, at least partially, can be traced back to the 1970s. Tourism was growing, as was the town's year-round population. On the TV talk show Ski Scene, the area manager of Steamboat at the time, Gordon Wren, hawked the resort's brand new lift.
It is a sister to the Bell Gondola in Vail, although ours is 1 year newer, so we think it's a little better.
So to keep up with infrastructure improvements around town, the city council proposed an idea. Eliminate property taxes for a few years in favor of raising the local sales tax. That way, tourists, and not just locals, would pay for new buses and roads. Voters passed the measure in 1978.
Did you do any campaigning or anything around it?
Absolutely not.
Paula Black had just moved to Steamboat Springs. She would eventually become a longtime city councilwoman. But at the time, she was just a resident.
I don't know that it flew under the radar as much as people felt that that made sense.
And for a few years, the higher sales tax did exactly what it was supposed to do. But in 1981, a recession hit. City-supported housing and other construction came to a halt. Tourism revenues plummeted.
Therefore, there just wasn't the will to initiate a property tax when the community was already suffering.
Even when she got elected in 1988, the question of whether or not to reinstate the property tax was constantly on the table.
In those public hearings, various community members, vocal community members, would come out against it.
She was the one behind an effort in the early 90s at passing a variation, a real estate transfer tax, which seemed like an easier pill to swallow.
What happened to that idea?
It died on the vine.
Black left the council in 2000. Since then, there have been even more attempts at moving Steamboat away from its sales tax-heavy funding model. But nothing stuck.
We are strapped for space, so talk about growth pains.
That's something Robin Crossan hopes to change this year. She's a current city councilwoman, and she's showing me around City Hall.
You know, we went to a four-day work week, and it's taken all this time to get back up to have city offices open till noon on Fridays.
Because sales tax revenue fluctuates, the city is constantly playing catch up. Even with a booming economy last year, she says the question of whether to spend $3,000 on ice skates for the Howelson Hill ice rink was a tough sell.
We can't buy ice skates. And that's a silly little thing, but it hit home that guys, we need to figure something else out.
So after more than a year of community meetings, the city council voted last month to put a 2 mil property tax question on the November ballot, specifically to boost the fire department's budget by about $1.5 million. The reaction has been mixed.
I've heard this, that we're on a single leg stool from our funding concept for that whole time I've been here.
Ed MacArthur is a longtime resident and business owner. He was a part of a special committee that debated the tax question. He's concerned it's more of a want than a real need.
We're in the top, in the upper 30% of all the districts in the state of Colorado with our response times, and we're in the top 12.6% of all the districts across the country. I look at that and say, where's the problem?
And he says it's also going up against other local tax hikes for the school system.
It's been my experience. If I was a betting person, I would bet the bulk of them are going to go down, because I think it's too much of an ask.
But without it, Councilwoman Robin Crossan says the community will keep falling behind.
It doesn't have to be the only thing we do, but we have to move towards something that's a little bit more sustainable. Actually, quite a bit more sustainable.
Back at the firehouse, I catch up with firefighter Chris Welch. He was one of the two responding to the natural gas alarm, the one that got the substandard response.
And this gentleman was in his house staining a chair, and the fumes from the stain were pretty pungent in the house. I think they just got into the flammable gas detector. It mistook that as some sort of a natural gas and went into alarm.
Sometimes concurrent 911 calls can be managed quickly, but Welch can't always assume that.
You know, my mindset has to be one of, this is probably an emergency. It could be caused by two or three likely scenarios. What am I going to do if each one of these three things happen, and I have to prove that wrong?
Deputy Fire Chief Chuck Sarasoli says the increasing call volume is just one of the many pains his department is feeling. They pay their firefighters and paramedics less than what they can make along the front range. And then there's the lack of affordable housing.
You have to find people that want to be here and are willing to sacrifice some wages and higher cost of living as far as housing to make that sacrifice.
Solving that problem, he says, will go well beyond approving a property tax increase. Matt Bloom, KUNC, Steamboat Springs.